Yo, welcome to this episode of the Hooniverse Podcast. This is technically a redo episode because, Ron, you're not going to believe this. I had trouble editing the last episode.
I was wondering what happened.
Do you remember what happened?
I don't. I'm not surprised, but
in the middle of it, my computer crashed.
Yes.
So I have the files, but for some reason Premiere wasn't digging them. So this is kind of a redo. I've been traveling. There's other stuff going on. I'm in a hotel room right now for work, but
this looks like Blair Witch Project.
It's the Fairfield Inn. We didn't get one out last week because I couldn't figure out why the one wouldn't edit. So I just had to say, fuck it. I can't focus on this right now. And we will record.
Totally get it.
When I get back home, I will sit down, I will figure it out, and I will pull it, and I will get it to work. Because the files are there. I can get it to work.
Okay.
Premiere was acting a fool.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I get it. It was a fun one, too.
It was a good one. It was a really good one. So beyond that, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I've got complaints, but I'll save them for another time and place. Well, I will bitch about one thing when we get to Project Car updates. Other than that one thing, all is swimmingly well. I'm good, man.
Okay, that's good. Good to hear. What is going on in your world that is positive that you want to talk about?
Well, tomorrow I'll be working from Hoonigan because Ryan Anderson is doing something in the yard with Son of a Digger. So I'm pretty excited about that. The last time I saw Ryan was when he shredded the burn yard back in, I guess that was 2020. It was right before the pandemic. And, he tore up the burn yard. So I don't know what he's going to do at the spot in Compton. It's a much smaller space, but, hopefully he can crush some cars or do something cool. So. Yeah, I'm excited about that, and I'll hopefully be able to talk about it next week.
Damn, that is that's awesome. Hopefully, you can talk about it tomorrow night, theoretically, which is when we'll record the next episode because I'm behind. Well, we're not behind, but actually we are. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. The reason I am in a hotel room is because this week I'm shooting. This is hilarious to me. I'm shooting a series of wrenching videos for carparts.com. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's hilarious to me is because I'm not a great wrench. I've always needed guidance with wrenching, but it's some basic stuff. We're working on a Ford F-250, which is kind of hilarious.
What year?
16.
Okay.
But we're doing some basic stuff. We're swapping mirrors, grills, bumpers, headlights, some really, really very easy stuff to do. And
that's cool.
It's really nice to work on. I've never worked on anything this new. So, you know, this truck, I think it was a Texas truck at one point. So it has a lift. Mm-hmm. And then it's surprisingly not rusty underneath though, which is nice. And so most of the bolts are turning. And there's so much room. Like I was doing stuff under the back bumper today. We replaced the back bumper and I could literally sit on the ground and like sit there and wrench. And I'm like not hitting my head. I'm like, this is amazing.
I have no idea what that's like.
No, it was nuts. So I'm way north of LA, in a hotel room. And then tomorrow we're switching and we're going to start wrenching on a Camry, which is not as exciting, but will probably be equally as amazingly easy to work on.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to that.
That's cool though. I mean, you know, hopefully it'll give a lot of people like novices and people that aren't accustomed to wrenching, you know, some confidence that they can work on their own car and, you know, kind of get them sucked into the hobby.
That's the whole gist of the program, the video run, why we're doing it, is this is stuff you can do, you know, not even in a garage, you can do it in your driveway And I think the idea behind it is good as a novice wrench. The good thing is off camera, if we were working on a part of it that I didn't understand, there is actually a mechanic on site to be like, why don't you try, what are you? No, this dude is actually, he wrenches on like JDM stuff. He showed up in a bone stock 93 Supra today.
What?
Which, yeah, like crazy clean. And I was like, oh my goodness. And he's telling me, he's like, we're just talking cars. He's like, oh yeah, I have an Evo 8. Then we're talking, he's like, oh, I have a Land Cruiser. I have this. I was like, God damn, this guy's like, he has like an S13 drift car. Yeah. So he's perfect to have in the corner helping out when we're like, if we'll run through something together. Because today we had to swap the grill on the F-250. Really, we were swapping just the grill surround. So You take the whole grill off, which is really easy. And then to get the grill centerpiece out is like 20 plastic tabs all the way around. But then we get hung up on one thing and we realized there were these plastic rivets we had to pop off. So it was like a bunch of like little annoyances that to have another guy there to be like, yo, or another person there to bounce off ideas and be like, let's just try this. Let's pop these off. I'm like, all right, well, let's get these tabs out. And he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. And so it's helpful and eases the anxiety of me rolling into a shoot being like, hey guys, I'm not like the best mechanic, but they're like, no, that's fine. We just need you to like look not like a total slob on camera and go from there. Though,
so you're saving your beauty for them.
Well, they requested that I grow my facial hair back for the shoot. I swear to you, this is true. And then I just haven't had time to get my hair cut. And then on top of that tonight, because I'm not at home and being healthy, I ordered Chinese food to my room tonight. And I literally feel like I'm about to explode.
Yeah.
And I found a local brewery that's like a
mile down
the road. Yeah. Some German brewery called Enegren.
Nice. Cheers.
Shout out Tasty Beers. So I literally am about to like, after this podcast, I'm going to have to go to the fitness room in the Fairfield Inn and do something about what I've done to my body this evening.
you passed the health check for this podcast, so you can't be in that bad of shape.
That's just the internet here. it's not the belly. But so this past weekend, I was in Texas.
Right.
And I posted a tweet saying, if I told you I was in the land of Lambos and lifted Super Duties, where am I? And I'd say 70% of the people were like, Texas. And then a further, 40% were like, Houston. And then a few of those people, I'm like, hey, Houston's correct. Can you narrow it down further? And like one or two of them were like, the Woodlands. And I was like, boom. And nice. I mean, literally outside my hotel at one point, we were staying in some West Inn near the waterway in the Woodlands. At one point, there was a Gallardo convertible, which is funny that it wasn't an Huracan. But then like right in front of it would be like an F-250 with, 4-inch lift, dualies probably. Also, how much driving have you done in Houston?
I've done quite a bit. The last time I was there was for Lone Star Throwdown, which is actually this weekend, just north of Houston in Conroe. And I was there for that 3 years ago. But I used to go to Houston two or three times a year for different shows and events and to visit customers and stuff.
So Conroe is just north of the Woodlands, basically. So one night we actually ate dinner in Conroe. And the main freeway that I interacted with, because we went to the Children's Museum one of the days. So the reason we went to Texas, my brother lives there and he had a daughter during COVID. So I hadn't seen my niece yet in person. So we got to finally meet her, which was great.
Nice.
The 45 in Houston is, I described it as
free. Is that Mexico?
No.
In all the 1320 videos?
No, fuck that. This is Texas. this is free form NASCAR meets super stadium trucks. The fastest ones on the freeway are F-250s and F-350s.
Really?
Not Audis and Mercedes and all this stuff. In the left lane, on your bumper or weaving traffic were F-250s and F-350s with big stickers that had big things to say in the back window.
Sure. I can imagine.
And they were moving. And then the other cars that were moving the fastest were ones that had no business being road legal. And then me and my Nissan, because I couldn't even get a press car. I had to get a rental car in my Nissan Rogue rental car. Nice. Cruising with traffic at 85, like just
sure.
Moving. And also, like, you know, we get traffic in LA. I'm there on a weekend and there's random traffic in Houston. Like, it's like, why is there traffic here in Houston? And I don't know. I just didn't get it.
Houston's actually a larger city population wise and geographically than I think a lot of people realize. I think it's like the fourth or fifth largest population wise in the States. Massive.
I think I read six. So I think you're right there. Yeah. It's way bigger than I expected. The Children's Museum was fun. We just went there to see my brother, his wife, and their daughter. So that's the reason that we were there. But I was just blown away by the trucks were everything I was hoping to see, and the Houston 500 playing out on the freeway was just wild.
Absolutely. See, if I had seen that question, I would have, the land of Lambos and lifted trucks, I would have immediately thought South Florida first. But, now that you mention it, like I totally remember going to, actually the last time I was in Houston, I went to the rodeo and it was amazing, dude. It was so fucking cool. It was like, you know, every spirit and beer manufacturer has like a big tent, like a VIP area. And it's like this humongous gathering. I mean, you know, it's hundreds of thousands of people come to the city and stuff, but there's just like all the parking lots are just lined with trucks. It's just, it looks like a dealership. Like it looks like, you know, like a used truck dealership, every single parking lot, everywhere you go. And they're all lifted. They all have big horns. They all have wheels and, you know, it's definitely a way of life there. You got to have a big truck.
Yeah.
No way around it.
At the valet, there was a King Ranch Expedition, which
I mean, that's the cowboy Cadillac.
I didn't even know there was a King Ranch Expedition.
The new body style? I knew about old ones, but
I think it was a newer Expedition. Yeah. I have to double check.
I don't doubt it.
It was definitely an Expedition. It was definitely a King Ranch. It's funny because, you know, you and I would be like, why wouldn't you get like a GLS 63 or a Range Rover or this, that? They would be like, hell
right.
No.
Right.
King Ranch Expedition, for them, that's where it's at.
That's the most baller shit.
For sure. Now, I'm going to dive into the questions a little bit early tonight because this is sort of a makeup episode because somehow my computer fumbled the last episode. I'm not blaming it on me. I'm blaming it on the computer.
Sure.
Like you said, we got into some good shit. Like we even started off by talking about, like we purposely talked about not car shit. We talked about like men's health.
Yep.
And so I'm going to find that episode.
Should we take it as a sign that we're not supposed to talk about shit other than cars?
No.
I don't think so either.
I think it was a good episode and I'm going to find it. And I'm going to bring it back.
Totally.
But we're going to go to, we have good questions on Twitter and Instagram tonight. And then if there were any topics you wanted to bring up outside of this, please dive in at any moment.
Okay.
But let's go to Twitter first. That dude Pasha at that dude Pasha.
We can always count on Pasha.
Right. What's your prediction for the Montero on cars and bids? So there is a 2003 Montero on cars and bids at the moment. And I actually know the owner. I've camped with him. I've off-roaded I've off-roaded with this guy. It is a great truck. It has a lot of miles at 182,000, but it's a Gen 3 and it has King shocks. It has some serious modifications. It's ready for he has a ARB rear air locker. He has an onboard compressor. He has a deep cycle battery. He has the 17-inch wheels from a 4Runner TRD. He's got Total Chaos Fabrication front control arms, Siberian bushings, tons of stuff. This truck is ready to go. Again, it has high mileage, but these trucks can run forever. And there's 14 hours left and it's sitting at $8,000. And I know that's not where he wants it to be. It's probably halfway to what he wants it to be. And I would say that would be a lot for a Montero, but the market is insane and his is very well built. So I'm hoping he gets at least 14 for it. So I'm going to say it's going to land at 14. I have no idea what the reserve is, but there's 14 hours to go.
I was just about to ask if there's a reserve, or obviously the cars and bids allows reserves.
I think so, because I haven't really paid attention to them much. I think their listings will, their reserve, if it says, if it doesn't have a reserve, it says no reserve. So this one doesn't have that. So it does have a reserve. Cause right now, there's a 1995 Toyota Light Ace Super, which is a really sick van. No reserve, 13 hours left, and it's only at $5,000, and it has like BBS looking wheels. It's fucking incredible.
Did you say 85? What year?
95.
What is that? So that wasn't a U.S. market vehicle.
No.
It's not in private.
Full Japan. It says it has a U.S. title though.
Interesting.
Does
it look like a Previa?
Kind of. Yes. Not as jelly beanish, but yeah. All right. Josh Ostrander, he thinks this is a question, but it says top three music acts period, which is technically not a question. that's just a statement, Josh. I wonder if he means like that we've seen live. So I'll pick my three and you pick your three. So obviously my favorite.
You're sticking to that you've seen live?
Yeah, I'm staying live.
Okay.
I've seen my favorite's Pearl Jam, and they're amazing live. One of the best shows. One, two, three, probably six. The one of the best concerts I've ever been to. I forget the year; it was a long time ago, but it was Wu-Tang opened for Rage.
Oof.
And it was the night after Zach De La Rocha broke his ankle. So Wu-Tang played way longer than they were supposed to play, which was wild. ODB was still alive. It was insane.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And Rage was like note perfect to their album, which was super impressive.
They're amazing.
Yep. And then I want to say, my gut wants to say Beastie Boys, because I got to see during the Intergalactic tour, which was amazing. However, I saw Radiohead in a smaller venue in Boston. Where, hear me out here, the show was so intense that some super fan in the front row tried to fucking kill himself. Like, during one of the songs, he slit his wrists. They saved him.
Man.
I swear to God, they saved him and carried him out. And I'm like, Radiohead's for real.
I don't know that I ever want to enjoy music that much, dude.
I wasn't anywhere near his run.
All right, that's it. It's never going to get any better than this. Out.
I was way at the back, and they played Creep, which I guess you normally like to play live.
Anymore. Oh, really? How long ago was this?
Probably, I want to say end of 90s. Beginning of 2000s. I don't remember when OK Computer came out, but it was sometime around there. Yeah. Your top three.
Ooh, man. I mean, it's weird because it's hard to not pick my favorite artist. But when I just think about, you know, consistency of live performances, because like I've seen my favorite artists, you know, a number of times, like Run the Jewels has to be up there. You know, not just because of my friendship with Mike, but I really, really enjoy their music. I love the production. They put on a show, you know, for two middle-aged dudes, like to go out there and dance around for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. Like they're really committed to the show, to the performance. They typically sound spot on and they just have an energy. And like, it's more about their crowds. Like their crowds are just so hyped. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's no coincidence that they're touring with Rage Against the Machine this year and next year, because right. you know, the with their social justice and you know right. you know kind of
same
their
mindset.
Message and yeah, exactly, you know, they're very much aligned, so their crowds are very similar, so it makes perfect sense that they're touring, so I'm excited for that. I would say Outkast, but I mean, it's been so long since I saw Outkast, and I've probably seen him perform like five or six times if not more. I'll include them because one of the best performances I've ever experienced was, it must have been winter 98-99 when I came home from freshman year here at USC. I went home to Atlanta, and Outkast played with the entire Dungeon Family. So Goody Mob, Cool Breeze, like the entire original Dungeon Family clique, played at the Tabernacle, which was basically a converted church. And it was like a homecoming. It was it was just mind blowing. I went with a group of six or seven people, but I ended up seeing a bunch of friends from, high school, and awesome. The whole city was there. It was fucking amazing. So that, that will always stand out as one of the greatest performances ever. They played everything we wanted to hear. Then I gotta say The Weeknd, man. I'm wearing a Weeknd sweater that just came in today, but I'm a huge fan of that kid, have been for 10 years, and it's amazing to see what he's become. And the early performances were the best. It's cool to see him play, sold out to fucking stadiums and shit, and just have all the production design and pyro and everything else. But there early performances that were in small venues, we saw them at the Fonda, I saw them at the Orpheum, saw them at Hollywood Cemetery or Hollywood Forever Cemetery. The kid, when he was unknown,
right,
and it felt you were doing something you weren't supposed to, listening to his music, and you didn't even know, for the first 3 or 4 months we were into him, me and all my friends, honestly, we didn't know if it was a group, if it was what we didn't even know, nobody had even seen him. And that mystery and being able to emerge as an artist like that and kind of keep some of the mystery, he's not the greatest performer. He can't fucking dance, but that, he just does weird shimmies and stuff, trying to be Michael Jackson, and he doesn't pull it off well. But, seeing him evolve as an artist has been cool. But anybody that was into his music, the first three mixtapes or whatever that released in 2011, those early performances were incredible because it was it was this shy kid on stage and he wasn't great, but it was you were part of a community that was you knew you were the first to discover something that was going to be huge.
Right.
So
also he was in Uncut Jams. Mm-hmm. Sorry, being topical.
Nice.
I didn't even know about that until this past weekend. My wife had to tell me about that.
And I don't know when that was, but I just saw it last night, so that's perfect.
All right. Those are good answers. Bertie Redfern asks, I don't hear yourself, Farrah, Ferretti, et cetera, talk about radar detectors anymore. Is that because they no longer work? Too much hassle? You don't speed anymore where they normally need it, et cetera? I think living in California, there's not a ton of speed traps, oddly enough, in Southern California. Also, Waze is super helpful. And sure. I speed at a level consistent with my surroundings.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Waze has reduced the need, not completely, obviously, yeah, I think it's about also it's a little bit about growing up, a little bit about technology. They do still work. They definitely still work. They've only gotten better. I would love an Escort 360 Radar Max, whatever the fucking newest Escort is, but I don't want to pay the money and I'll just drive not that crazy. And this morning I left my house at 6:20 to get to somewhere by 8:45. And I used Waze the whole time. And it said, I think one time on that entire drive from South OC to Moore Park, California, it said, police reported ahead. And that was it. There was one cop on the road. So there's just not speed traps.
I'd agree with you. I think maturity definitely has a large part in it. It's just, that and traffic. You drive for a living. I don't, but there's just fewer opportunities to speed and really getting in trouble. And you're not so isolated where you won't see people ahead of you braking. And I don't know, knock on wood, I've never ever gotten a speeding ticket. I've been pulled over for speeding a couple of times only, but I've never ever gotten a speeding ticket. And I don't know, maybe it's growing up, you know, the son of a cop, even though he wasn't a traffic cop, but like, right. you know, just being aware and knowing the tendencies of police and, you know, like just being hyper aware. Like I've never had a radar detector. I will say that back like 10 years ago when I worked at CEC, we installed a lot of like the fully integrated front, yeah. rear, you know, laser, radar, jammer, scanners. And like, you know, it was like a $1,500 kit. And it was probably like $3,000 to install everything because you had sensors in the grills and, you know, in the rear. And, you know, we even integrated the display into the rear view mirror. So those systems really worked and were really impressive. Yeah. And like, I drove to San Diego a couple times in our C63 that was equipped. And it totally saved my ass because that car is just like, I don't know, you drive like a fucking dickhead. You can't help it like that. Right. That was a car that Klaus was using like the Bull Run, and it had all sorts of weird tricks and like it had like an extra fuel cell. It was like built to win Bull Run. So, you know, it was just way too easy to speed in that car. And I definitely had my fun with it, but that crazy passport system like definitely saved my ass a couple times, like on road trips. But I mean, here in town, like there's just at least for me, like I don't have that much opportunity to speed to begin with.
Yeah, no, we did a full install with our friend Jason, who had when he had his Focus, his Ford Focus, Mountain Focus ST, and with K40. Electronics where they actually did laser jammers, which aren't technically legal in California. Mm-hmm. But we found a shop to install it, and it was amazing. And the crazy thing was, because he's in the Navy, and when he would drive the car onto the base, it would give him some kind of message saying like system deactivate, like something on the base would turn his thing off.
No shit. That's
yeah, it was pretty amazing. But his system didn't work really well. Yeah. Like it would like bounce false signals back. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was cool. And it was integrated into like, there was something about his, the information display, like where his warning lights and check engine light and turn signals, where it would like mm-hmm. flash. Like if you had the system, you knew what it meant, but it would like flash something in there.
Right.
Like there wasn't an actual display.
So there wasn't. Yeah. Nice. That's cool.
Yeah. Super cool. Matthew Squarcheck or Squarzex at Scouting for Zen. What do you think would have to happen, whether culturally, politically, et cetera, for motorcycles, bicycles, and other non-car transportation methods to gain significant traction among regular people in the U.S.? We would have to completely change the way our cities are built.
Yeah.
I would love for our major metropolitan downtown areas to listen. I love cars. I love driving. But I think I'd be fine if LA was like if you got close to LA and then took a train in and walked everywhere, that'd be cool. But that's not how it is. Yeah. So, you know, other areas, sure. But then you also have to have like proper bike lanes and the amount of things that we need to change in the United States for that to be a thing is massive.
Right. You almost have to design that idyllic society from scratch, like you know, any new communities that you don't want to be, you know, friendly to two-wheeled and other modes of transportation, like that's got to be kind of at the core of the city's design.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a total afterthought, and you know, with the infrastructure and the way things are set up now, it's, you know, it's not an easy retrofit.
No. Absolutely not. Timothy Jeffs at Timmy Jeffs. What vehicles suffer from the previous generation being stiff competition to the new model sales? Example given, GTI, Miata, Wrangler. I would say right now, specifically, the GTI is a good example. Yeah,
totally. GTI Golf R, totally.
Yeah, especially because it's funny. We did our video on Auto Trader of the Mark 8, and I was like, listen, this thing drives great. I actually like the way it looks, blah, blah, blah. The infotainment is garbage. And then you always get, because people who buy cars always search for reviews of the thing they bought. And so those are some of the ones that are most vocally commenting. It's always,
of course,
it'll be new GTI owners like, it's not that bad. You get used to it, blah, 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 blah. Like, all right. Yeah. I'm the only automotive journalist who said it. It's like everybody, literally everybody.
Right.
Like, this is hot, hot dog shit. And Volkswagen.
Right.
And they're going to say how good it is. And I guarantee you, I'd love to follow up with them when there's the mid-cycle refresh and Volkswagen has brought back the volume.
Addressed all of that shit.
Or yeah. But like, hey, well, it was so good. So the GTI is the one that currently pops to mind for me.
Yeah. This is definitely not a hot take, but I don't think, I don't think it falls into the question's original intent, but I'd say the new Supra definitely suffers from, you know, the legend of the Mark IV. Like, the A90 is a great car, but it's just not, you know, it's not what everybody wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, after having spent some time in it, like, it's a great driving car, love to drive it, hate to drive it. Like, I love the driving experience. I hate everything that I touch and smell and feel inside the car. It fucking sucks. There's nothing at all ergonomic about it. Like, it's just super uncomfortable. I can never get anything to work right. Like, you know, our car's, you know, got something like 13,000 miles on it. And like, all the electronics are like sketch and like, you know, haphazard. Like, nothing works consistently. It's got so many niggles and like little, like, annoying things that I don't even want to drive a car anymore. Like, great on the canyons. It's super fun. It's actually really comfortable, like, as far as ride compliance, but I hate driving that thing.
I think that's a fair answer. I think that's a fair answer. I also just from it,
it, I mean, it's been,
I don't know. I think there's some competition to be had between the C7 and the C8 in terms of people being like, I don't want that weird mid-engine thing.
Sure.
And then you could have also gone back C7 to C6 because people are like, I don't want that redesign. You know, I want a little bit of curvature to my car. So the Corvette every year probably gets the same treatment, even though technically it's a better car.
Yeah.
Woke Johnny Bravo at Sean Keeley too. When will it be a good time to buy a car again? Will prices and dealer markups ever go away? I don't think dealer markups can last forever. But our economy is in such a weird place where everybody agrees that the housing market is so overpriced, but everyone also seems to agree that it's not going to just die like it did in 2008. So I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen in the car market. The average transaction price hit 47 grand, which just doesn't make any sense.
It's insane. Yeah, I mean, man, like, I hate to be, you know, Debbie Downer, but honestly, like, I feel like we're on the cusp of a bubble, just like 2008.
Right.
You know, it's like money is just too cheap right now, and you know, people aren't valuing it, and just seeing, I hate to say it, but like, seeing the way that influencers and people with money are behaving and the way that they're spending and the way that, you know, inflation is going and the fact that, you know, wages aren't increasing accordingly. Like, you know, it's like this free money shit is not going to last forever. And like, I was just looking at the cost of aluminum because that's obviously very, you know, pertinent to my job, my industry.
Right.
The cost of aluminum is at like a 25, 30 year high. The last time it was this close was in late 2007-08. Like late 2008, and the price fucking tanked, as did the economy. And it's like, you know, if you look at those trends and if you look at that specifically, the cost of aluminum, and I mean, this is not the harbinger of, you know, the economy, but it's like, it's really eerie to see like, oh, we're right where we were just before this, you know, last economic collapse. So, you know, it's not going to last forever. I feel like
the title of the podcast is follow the aluminum or something like that.
But yeah, it's I don't know. It's wild, man. Like, I, you know, because I'm getting less and less thrilled with my Audi and this, the state in which I'm going to receive that car. So I'm thinking about selling it. And just looking around at like what's available and at a comparable price, like, you know, stuff like a Jeep Grand Cherokee, a 2014 Jeep Grand Cherokee SRT8, 2014, an 8-year-old truck with low miles, like something like 20,000-30,000 miles, is $65,000. That was sticker. That's what that thing stickered for 8 years ago. Like, shit is unbelievable. Like, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's not entirely across the board, but for the most part it is. It's like enthusiast cars are just like unattainable because, like, you know, it's like you can't buy a brand new SRT8 right now. So it's like, if you want it, like, this is what you got to pay.
Yep.
And I don't know, man, I feel like we're near the ceiling. Like, I don't know how long this price gouging can go on. I mean, I understand right. Everybody needs to make money, but you know, dealerships don't really make money on cars to begin with. I mean, you know, that's never really been the model. It's been, you know, service and parts you know, after sales. So it's like, you guys are getting kind of greedy, but I understand, like, you know, if you don't have cars, you know, you gotta make up for it somewhere. So
that's true. That's true.
I mean, I don't know shit about these supply chain issues, so I'm not going to begin to speak on that. But yeah, I mean, shit's got to come down at some point. I just hope it doesn't come crashing down all across the board.
Yes. Mark Stearns at Mark Stearns. First, he says, when the hell did the Hooniverse podcast return? Which I replied directly saying, we're nearly 20 eps in. And he said, dang, all right, I have a topic. Is there any actual utility vehicle besides real pickup trucks? How big a truck is enough? The new Maverick might do the job most days, right? I mean, I think a lot of the SUVs are now CUVs. So if you mean like real utility in terms of payload and stuff like that, like a truck is still king. And then yes, the Maverick will do the job for most days. I just spent a week with one and I really, really, really liked it. And it wasn't the EcoBoost. It wasn't the all-wheel drive one. It was the hybrid front-wheel drive. And I really, really liked it.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't know what his definition of utility is, but
true,
you know,
very true.
I would venture to say that the most utilitarian vehicle, like, emerging in the next couple of years, who knows when it'll actually come to market, but Canoe, like their truck, like is the epitome of utility. Like, you know, it's like everything's configurable and like interchangeable and expandable. And you know, if they come to market, which, you know, seems like they will, I think they're going to really disrupt the pickup truck market, because they have charging stations and work platforms, like front and rear, like they're really aiming that thing for, you know, not just DIY guys, but like, you know, job site guys. Like they're really, really trying to make an impact with like contractors, subcontractors, construction workers, et cetera, plumbers, you know. So I think with that in mind, they'll convert a lot of guys that weren't thinking about an EV.
Yeah, yeah. Jumping over to Instagram. The funny thing on Instagram is we had three separate questions related to Ranger Raptor, because that was kind of shocking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to combine two of them because they're basically the same. So the first one from Abrudney asks, F-150 Raptor versus Ranger Raptor versus Bronco Raptor, which would you choose? And the other one from Mike Cervantes Photog says FMK, fuck, marry, kill, Ranger Raptor, Bronco Raptor, F-150 Raptor.
Perfect.
I would marry the Bronco Raptor. I don't want to do this because I don't want to kill the Ranger Raptor. But I would fuck the F-150 Raptor. Even though the Ranger Raptor is like the perfect size.
Right.
That's tough. But I would the one I would want to take of the three personally is the Bronco Raptor.
Interesting. Because I think that thing's hideous. I know it's perfectly capable and, you know, it'll perform like the other Raptors, but I just think those squared flares like just totally ruin the truck, in my opinion. Like, I would have to have some aftermarket solution because I can't get down with that. So for me, it'd be kill the Bronco, fuck the Ranger, marry the Raptors, the F-150 Raptor. I love them. Like, I know they're silly for city use and totally unnecessary, and I have absolutely no need for one, but that's just, especially if the Raptor R, if that is to be believed, with the, basically the GT500 supercharged V8, 700 plus horsepower. Like, I'm all in for that.
Absolutely. 100%. I had a fun Instagram moment this past weekend where our friend Johnny Lieberman posted about the Ram TRX. Did you, you saw this?
I don't know. I just always laugh when Johnny is the subject, because He just said some of the most outlandish shit. Like, I'm still upset with him for saying that there's no Chevelle worth more than $30,000 because he swears he saw some 70 Chevelles go for like $300,000 at Barrett Jackson. I'm like, okay, like, you're not just talking about, like, he was the one that explained to me, like, the value of, like, vintage Porsches, et cetera, like, you know, and, like, associated with, like, baseball cards and, you know, memorabilia. It's like, okay, yes, it's not a $300,000 driving experience, but you have something that's very unique that, you know, means something to somebody, right?
Right.
So for him to, like,
You know what I'd rather buy, a vintage Porsche or a vintage Chevelle? I want to drive the vintage Chevelle.
454
SS, I mean.
I'm like. Like, have you ever driven one of those, Johnny? Like, I don't understand, man. Like, you know, like, Johnny and I are good friends, as I'm sure you are. And, like, you know, I feel like we can have this debate. And I called him out on Instagram the other day, and he didn't address it. He didn't repost or say anything. But, you know, I just think that's a closed-minded thing to say when you're talking about, you know, $800,000 Gunther Works Porsches, right, and $2 million, you know, Carrera GTs. Like, yes, there's a driving experience to be had there, but is there any driving experience worth $2 million? Like
an F1 car, maybe, right? But even then, right?
It's not about the driving experience. It never is.
I'm with you.
It's about the cachet.
I'm not
anyway.
Dive deeper into what we were talking about. With the other thing, the other question related to the Ranger Raptor from CNC Picks from Leo: will the Ranger Raptor take market share from the TRD Pro Tacoma? I would like to believe that it should, but Toyota Tacoma buyers are—they're not obnoxious, they're not insane, because technically it is a capable truck, but they think it is Superman of trucks, and they're fortunate that the resale value is ridiculous.
Yep.
And it's fairly bulletproof in terms of its engine and transmission. However, the Ranger Raptor, I can say this with confidence, not knowing or ever driving or knowing any of the specs, the Ranger Raptor will be better than the TRD Tacoma. I am not a huge Tacoma fan.
I don't know anybody that is. I mean, I have friends that have Tacomas and 4Runners and stuff, but you know, it's an antiquated platform. They suck on road. Like, yeah, they're capable, but like,
they're not,
you know, as far as, right, exactly. I was going to say ergonomics, like, you know, interior features, like they just don't, they don't offer the creature comforts that their sticker price warrants.
Well, cause I mean, I would get the current Ranger Tremor over the TRD Tacoma now. So that's why I can confidently say that the next Ranger, the Ranger Raptor, would be a no-brainer. So there you go.
Sure.
Type R. Kelly, going to Disneyland for part of my honeymoon, what brewery should I hit, and or Cars and Coffee? I will message you privately. He and I have shared beers via mail before. And then, yeah, you should hit Cars and Coffee. And then this question I really like. I don't know if you'll know who it references. Cooley156 asks, if Zeb Powell was a car, what car would he be? Do you know who Zeb Powell is?
I don't.
Zeb Powell is a young black professional snowboarder who's like the most stylish, entertaining snowboarder I've seen in a decade.
No shit.
He's doing the coolest shit out there, and he's wild, and he has this crazy awesome attitude, and like he's like bringing a totally different awesome voice to snowboarding. So it's a great question. I'll send you some of his clips later on, but he fucking shreds, and it's a great question because it should be like kind of a wild, outrageous car, and I feel like I need to come up with a better answer. But he's kind of like like an SV, he's like some kind of like performance Huracan, you know, where it's like, it's loud, it's in your face, and it's also really, really good. That's probably a good answer for you. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. That's a good answer. I brought it together in the end. Yeah.
Nice. I gotta look him up.
What else is going on in your world? What are you mad about? You said there was one thing you wanted to talk
about. Man, my fucking truck got broken into and somebody smashed the fucking steering column and ignition and ripped all the wires out trying to steal the fucking K10 out of the same parking lot that my Audi got broken into. And I'm fucking heated because...
The pickup truck, not the Tahoe.
Correct. The K10. Okay. Yes. Okay. But like, you know, I go check on it every couple days and like, it's just sitting there. And like, you know, I'm moving into a garage space with a few coworkers, like literally any day. And like, we got keys last week and we just painted. So I'm just like anxiously awaiting that day that I can move that thing in there. And I went yesterday to go check and I bought some American Racing wheels for it. And I want to paint them. The truck is two-tone green and white, and I want to paint them white to match. So I went to go get to try and find the bill sheet and figure out the paint code for the white. And like that build sheet is in the glove compartment. So I went and like, I'm like, like, I don't remember all that paperwork being on the floor. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, like I had the car detailed and like the guy just like, he like moved some stuff around. So I didn't think anything of it. So I grab all the paperwork and like, I'm closing up and then I look over and I'm like, oh, that's the lock cylinder on the seat. And I was like, fuck. Like, it's so weird because the truck has a flat tire. I left it on a flat, so it wasn't easily stealable. It has no headlights. Like, it's still even got anyway, it's not like easily drivable. Like, you gotta fucking like, what are you gonna do? It's inside a gated parking garage. I feel like somebody just went and like practiced car theft and hot wiring on it, because like, you're not even really gonna be able to get out.
Right.
Like, you're not gonna drive off with this thing. It has no headlights, it looks like shit, like everybody knows it. And like, it's so frustrating. And like, the funny thing is that Long Beach PD, I don't know if they patrol the garage or if somebody called them. If maybe they had broken into like another car next to it or something, but there was a note that said, please call if you need to file a report. Like, we couldn't contact the owner because it's out of state plates. It's got South Dakota, expired South Dakota plates. So
right.
I'm like, it happened in the last 2 weeks. It doesn't matter when it happened, but you know, it's just like, God damn it. We're so close to getting into this garage space. And like the truck just needs a tune up, fluid change. I'm going to do a lift. I've already got Falcons and like 33s and the wheels, and you know, it's a flip project. So it's like every little setback, this is like, you know, somebody breaking into your flip home and like breaking all the glass and, smashing all the countertops and stuff. So it just sucks. It's not a huge setback, but it's just annoying because I've had the truck here for almost a year, and it's like, damn it. Like, we're so close. Now I got to replace the column, the ignition, all that shit. So, and I can't just start it and drive it. Like, I've got to have it towed now.
That sucks.
Yep. I mean, it's always, you know, with situations like this, it's always, yeah, totally. But, you know, with situations like this, it's always the violation that hurts the most. You know, it's just like, you motherfucker. Like, I wish I fucking caught you.
It's the, like, it's your fellow man treating you like less than a human being. That part's such shit. That blows. Well, hopefully it gets in the garage soon and all that good stuff. So tomorrow you're going to see Grave Digger, which will be sick.
Son of a digger.
Right.
Ryan Anderson. Yep.
That'll be exciting. I'm still shooting stuff all week, but we're gonna link back up, record another episode for the following.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try to repair the prior episode, which will become a bonus
episode. I hope you can save that, man. That was fun. It was the most fun.
I think my computer was just acting like a little bitch that night, and I didn't have time to, because I had a bunch of other shit and to pack for Texas and all this other crap. That's it.
Cool.
That's all I got going on right now. Thanks to everybody for their questions tonight.
Indeed.
Mr. Ron Vaugh on Instagram at 777style. You can find me at Hooniverse Jeff. Like this podcast. If you're watching this on our YouTube channel, please like and subscribe to this channel to help raise our numbers on our Hooniverse podcast specific channel. And then if you like the car reviews, go to the other channel and like and subscribe on that one as well. And then if you're looking for wheels, buy wheels from Wheel Pros. Just, you know,
yep.
Some people have reached out and said they are going to do that.
All right. Yeah.
Because of the podcast, and we appreciate you and thank you for doing so, because that's not a small purchase. So
not at all.
Yep. Thank you for doing so. And that's all we got for this week. And we will see you all next week. Ciao.
See you, folks.